that first day of spring. Meteorologist Kevin Shives. News Talk 105 WGM, News Talk Live, 838. Greg Harley, it's a literary round table this morning. This is just like something on PBS now. From the Quincy Public Library, Katie Crouser.
Good morning, Greg.
From the Quincy Community Theater, it's Brandon Thompson.
Good morning, Greg.
And from the Hannibal Writers Guild, founding member, Ryan P. Freeman.
Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. And we're gonna tie in all of this writing, reading, and performing in today's segment of Book Notes.
Absolutely.
So take notes, because it's going to get complicated.
Well, it really could. Today, I invited Brandon to join me because we want to talk about the evolution of Big Fish, the musical, which, of course, was originally a book. It was written in 1998 by Daniel Wallace, and it has gone through several incarnations. And the most recent that we are familiar with is the Quincy Community Theater version of Big Fish, the musical, which is going on right now.
Now, the original book wasn't a musical, was it?
You are correct. There was no singing.
I just wanted to clear that up.
Not officially.
So the story's been interpreted a number of different ways.
Yes, and it's wonderful. The basic part, the basic plot of the story is that William Bloom is telling the story of his father's life, and he tells it in a really unique way. He starts off introducing you to the idea of his father and his father's birth, and then there are these little snippets that are inserted about his father's death as well. And so you see, these great stories, these amazing things that Edward Bloom, his father, is said to have done, the stories that William was told as a child. And they take on this aspect of really tall tale legend. You know, even the wording of some of the stories, that it's a myth, or he has become this mythical creature. And then these very heartbreaking, poignant scenes of the father's death are inserted in between these legendary tall tales about Edward Bloom. And it's fathers and sons, it's relationships in general, it's community coming together. I just think it's a lovely story and very well written. So you have that feel of a little bit of magical realism, mystical realism, but also very thoughtful and thought-provoking stories of fathers and sons.
And it ties in with the, every family's got a fish stories.
Yes.
You should have seen the one that got away.
Well, and I think every family has their own dynamic. And so what's so neat about the story of Big Fish, it's about the relationship between an adult child and, in this particular case, his father. And not every parent-child relationship is the Brady Bunch. And so it goes on that journey, and how the son changed his viewpoint of his father. And when he was a kid, he saw him in one way, and as he grew up, he grew tired of his dad's larger than life persona, and he wanted his dad to be open and honest with him. And what he came to find out is that's who his dad was, and what his dad was trying to teach him by telling the world these very large stories.
And how did they put music to this story? It doesn't sound like the type of story that would be a musical, really.
It's interesting you say that, Greg, because to me, I think it's very musical, because this man has a larger-than-life world. And what we say in musical theater is you break into song because mere words are not enough. And so there's so much emotion building up inside of you that you can't speak anymore. You have to sing. And when you can't sing anymore, you have to dance. And so your body has to move in order to let all of this out. And Edward Bloom is this larger-than-life personality who has to sing and he has to dance. And the people around him are so wild and crazy and imaginative and fantastical that it's logical that they would sing and dance too.
So is that that a case where the singing and dancing basically are examples of the emotion that you can sort of get the feeling for it better than you would with the spoken word?
Absolutely. As Katie mentioned, the book was published in 1998, and then I think how your listeners might be most familiar with the story is because of the film directed by Tim Burton, and that came out in 2003. And what I think the movie did so well is it created a framework that the book didn't have. So the book is really, every chapter is just a different story. And the movie then created this structure where you understood why Will wanted to go on the journey to find out more about his father. And then the musical really focused this and streamlined it and gave it a much richer dynamic between the father and the son. And then the payoff is there at the end.
And Ryan, what do you have?
Well, I was going to say, when I was on Right Pack Radio, which is a literary podcast I'm a part of, I gave you guys a plug. And I was talking about how in especially the play, the story, the book, the whole spam, the narrative and the way the story is told through the characters, the really strong characters, written really well, is just fantastic. And I think the characters themselves, you know, they make the story, especially that story, when they're larger than life, when they're fantastic, when they're almost kind of like out of this like American mythos, you know, from maybe not so long ago to some, but long ago for others, it becomes mythic. And that's something that is very rare in the literary and also dramatic community when it comes to a modern American play.
Yeah, we talked about the comparisons to Wizard of Oz.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit, you know, bigger than life, but what's behind the curtain?
Well, and something that Will discovers while trying to find out more about his father, he says this towards the end of the story, is that your life is like a myth. And so you think about those great Greek mythology things. It's just like this average, ordinary person who goes on this big journey, very much like Wizard of Oz, small girl from Kansas, and this man happened to be from Alabama.
Well, it is a bit like the Odyssey, you know?
Yes, right. Yeah. And so it's about the Will says it was about a small Alabama farmer's son who wanted to see the world. And then what he says is, though, you didn't see the world, but I did, and I think it was because of you. And so all of these stories served as inspiration for the son to go off and make his mark. And I wanted to share with you my favorite quote from the book. Mm-hmm. I read the book in preparation to do the show, and it's Will Bloom who narrates the story. And this is what he has to say then. I think that if a man could be said to be loved by his son, then I think that man could be considered great.
That's a great quote.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And Katie and I were talking about this book is just full of great quotes like that. And this man has this love for life, and he wants to share that with those around him.
And people really seem to be enjoying the performances at Quincy Community Theater, aren't
well,
they?
Well, I hope so, and they have more opportunities
there's
come
another,
see
another,
it.
another weekend to check it out.
That's right.
You know, again, just an amazing job that you guys do. And there are more characters than there are actors in this, too, which is kind of a neat thing.
We tell the story using only 12 actors, and they play a multitude of characters. And I love this because you really get to focus in on the individuals. And I think of it as those key figures in a person's life that you hold with you. And they're always a part of you, and they make up who you are. And so you always see there's that person again, but I recognize the face, but now he's playing a different character.
You know, like a good story transcends reality.
Yep.
You know, and so you start seeing characters again and again, you know, and you're like, no, but they were somebody else. It's almost like, you know, maybe somehow the characters that we are kind of transpose over life, you know? So you end up seeing flashes of the same person as the same character again, 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 just in different settings.
That just gave me a thought that's really deep. What if there are really only 12 people in the world?
Dun, dun, dun.
Write that story, Greg.
They keep appearing over and over again. That could be a story, couldn't it?
Yes.
Ooh, there you go. Off to have to join the Writers
you
Guild.
You said we're meeting tonight.
There you go. Okay, meetings. We should mention that Hannibal Writers.
Yes,
there's a meeting tonight.
Down at the Mark Twain Brewery. We'll be upstairs, 5 o'clock. We'll be doing writing sprints tonight, as also with our usual roundtable critique. So if you got something that you've been having on your mind that you want to get written, well, tonight is the night to just do it. Just come down, get it done. We will blow your mind with writing sprints because they really do work. I know it sounds kind of, you know, snake oily, but I'm serious.
But
I thought it did, you know, sound too good to be true, but it really does work. They're incredible.
It's at the brewery. There's beer there.
Have a good time.
Have a good time. So we have that for you to do this week. We've got Quincy Community Theater. Let's run down the performances of Big Fish.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Sunday at 2 p.m. You can go on our website right now, select the seats you want, or wait till 10 and call the box office or come see us. The theater's located in the Oakley Lindsay Center, Big White Building, downtown Quincy.
The Big White Building.
Can't miss it.
Do you have a sign? Is the lighted sign promoting Big Fish out there by the highway too? By the expressway?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Okay, so there you go. There'll be a big sign for Big Fish.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, when you go to the show, be nice to your ushers.
Of which Greg is one. And also of other literary note is our next show is a play written by Mark Twain.
Oh,
and
this
play
I've heard of him.
Was he again?
he's the founder of the Hannibal's Writer Guild.
Yeah, no, he's right. Not. We're more than just Mark Twain. Come on.
And auditions are tonight. So maybe some of your listeners think, you know, that sounds like fun. I should audition for a show. I want to be in something. Come and audition. It's not too late. You can sign up and we'll get you in.
It's amazing how talented the community is. And are they that talented when they go in, or do they learn something?
The very
first
thing
in?
I learned in college, Greg, was you can't teach talent. You can only teach technique.
Right.
So a person's got a natural talent and a natural gift, and our job is to discover what it is and help them see it for themselves. And maybe we just chip away at something to reveal the diamond inside.
That's just amazing stuff. So Big Fish, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, coming out and enjoy that. Be humming the songs on your way out.
The music is so good. It's one of those where I know people don't know the songs going in.
But you'll know them coming out.
You'll know them coming out, yeah. It's beautiful music that really, really elevates the material and underscores the great life of Edward Bloom.
And more to talk about for Quincy Public Library, it's Katie.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I am doing great.
Isn't this great having a little round table for your segment here?
I love it. I'm just sitting back and listening to the brilliance spew out of their mouths. So it's fantastic.
That's how I spend 2 hours a day in here. I just ask a question and you all talk.
But yes, it's wonderful. And I was so glad to have Ryan here and Brandon here to talk about Big Fish and to talk about just that, like I said, that evolution of the story itself, because the book is very short. I read it in a couple of hours. You know, it has, like Ryan said, that American mythos of, you know, small town boy getting to go and do these great things, or at least telling about these great things that he does. And then to have it turned into a musical with the songs that I have not stopped humming in my head since I heard part of it last week. So
yeah, that's the thing. When you hear the songs, you get, what is it, an earbug?
Earworm.
An earworm, which is like an earbug. The song is stuck in your head. Thanks a lot, Brandon.
All in good ways. These are beautiful, beautiful songs.
They are.
But yeah, so it's just, you know, it's amazing to see the talent in our community, that willingness for people to get out and express themselves in these ways. And I do have to agree with Brandon. There are times that words are just not enough, and you have to do something more physical to express what you have inside of you.
And that is a neat thing, though, about music in particular. Music and dance is, you can get the message across in a shorter period of time than you could explaining it.
Yes.
You know, it's like a song. You can create an emotion in a matter of seconds and a couple of notes, whereas you may have a page or two of dialogue to describe the emotion.
You know, when you're writing a story, we talk about it again and again and again. When you're writing, you don't want to info dump. You want to demonstrate. Mm. And the play, I feel, is the most pure way to demonstrate a story.
I was so glad I read the book, however, because it is so beautiful and it set the tone for the imagery that we use in the show. So I highly recommend that people check out the book from Quincy Public Library.
There you go. Get a library card.
And it's such a good read, and it's an easy read.
And so what else is going on at the library, Katie?
Oh, we always have so many things going on at the library.
Do we have story time coming
Allow
up?
Me to flip my page here,
Do we
yes.
have puppet shows?
We do not have puppet show this week. But we will have puppet show in April.
Yay!
We love our puppet shows. So, yes, definitely mark on your calendar to come that first week of April. Right after Easter, we will be there having puppet shows. Check our calendar at quincylibrary.org and get signed up for that. In the meantime, we have other wonderful programming. So we have today toddler time for those kids who want to get out and play and be read to and sing songs and learn those acting techniques that are available at the library. We also have our Literary Angles meeting today at 1:30. They're going to be discussing The Bartender's Tale by Ivan Doig, which we talked about a few weeks ago.
And your cats.
Yes.
How about the cats?
I will.
Love that event.
I'm getting there.
We've got Reading for Cats coming.
Yes.
Okay.
That's all right. No, I'm glad you're excited about it, Ryan, because this is one of my absolute favorite things that we do at the library. And we don't actually hold it at the library, but this is the Reading to Cats program that we partner with the Quincy Humane Society on. So on Monday, the 26th, from 1 o'clock until 3 o'clock, the library will be out at Quincy Humane Society. Please make sure that you register for this event. Space is limited, and so we have to know how many people are coming, and we have to assign slots because, you know, there are only so many spaces that we can use out at the Humane Society to read to these cats.
And it's children reading to cats.
Well, generally. You know, we've had some adults that join our parties, too.
You've had Ryan out there, haven't you?
I know. I seriously want to come.
You need to come and do this, Ryan. Yeah. Call the library, 223-1309. Okay. Speak to either Ruth or Natasha and get signed up for a slot to read to the cats.
Okay, I'm excited.
You really should. It's a fantastic time.
Do different breeds of cats like different genres?
We haven't investigated that yet.
There's a study.
I think that would be a great thing for you to do while you're out there.
Right, I'll bring up a couple of different genres.
Yes, absolutely. See who responds best to what.
Exactly, right?
Yes.
It can be scientific as well as entertaining.
So, you know, it's a great time. It's a great time. We just have a blast with that. This is the last one that we will be doing this spring because, of course, then we'll be getting into all of our summer reading preparation and things like that. But we're so thrilled to be able to offer that as a program.
So much stuff to do.
We have
fun stuff.
Tomorrow, actually, I did want to highlight this. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, we're going to be doing an introduction to yoga with Jan Barrett from Redbud Yoga at 2
o'clock. Yeah, we know Jan.
Yes. Yeah, so she's going to come and do an introduction to yoga for us. And the instructions that we received were that whoever wants to participate needs to be able to bend, stretch, and move comfortably and gently. So dress in a way that enhances that.
You don't have to be able to carry 50 pounds or anything.
Right. And, you know, she's great at adjusting the moves and the stretches and the poses to what you are capable of doing at that time. You know, always with the goal of being able to do more. But, you know, you don't want to overdo. Yoga is about finding the stretch that is best for you.
Okay. And be advised, if you do go to this, she's going to make you fold your blanket when you're done.
Yes, she is. As you should. That is the polite.
It's polite. So we've got stuff at the library. We have Big Fish at the theater. And we've got Aspiring Writers in Hannibal tonight at Mark Twain Brewery.
That's right.
Okay, so your social calendar should be full now. We thank you for listening to News Talk Live, News Talk 105 WGAM. Brandon, Katie, Ryan, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
And this is appropriate for break a leg.
Very appropriate.
Very appropriate. Yes. And the rest of you, don't break legs. All right. It's 8:56. Good morning.